Ephesians chapter 2.
Amen.
I'm going to read one verse of scripture and then we'll pray. Everybody there? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, before I even got saved, God had some good works for me, didn't He? Doesn't He? Before you got saved, God was planning on what you needed to do. How you influenced His kingdom. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we give You glory and praise. Thank You for this time. Thank You that we can share this time together. Lord, it's always good when we can open up Your Word. Let it speak into our hearts. Just take today and teach us, Lord. Lead us. Direct us in Your paths. Yes, Lord. And we give You praise. We do pray for Carolyn, Lord. She has another procedure. We want everything to be perfect. Lord, minister to her in the name of Jesus. Lord, use this time, use me as Your instrument, vessel, pour out, and I give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a rather odd question for you today. I want you to think about these things. Have you ever thought about what you'd like written on your grave marker when you die? What would you like it to say? I'll give you some examples. Do you want it to say, "He died with the most toys"? Do you want it to say, "She had a street named after her"? Do you want it to say, "She came to church every Sunday"? Do you want it to say, "He accomplished much in His life"? Do you want it to say, "He was a great hunter"? Do you want it to say, "She was a good cook"? Maybe you want it to say, "He died rich." Or do you want it to say, "I told you I was sick"? A lawyer's widow was cleaning out the attic and found two bags of money stashed directly over the bed where the lawyer had passed away. She was heard to exclaim, "Oh my, he was trying to take it with him. But he should have put it in the basement." Today I want us to consider our life in terms of our commitment to the work of the Lord, service to Almighty God. I believe God is directing me to teach a series about Christian service, and I hope to end with a special ordination service of all of those who would dedicate themselves to some ongoing commitment and pray over them to receive a special anointing. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but upon my death, I hope to stand in the presence of Jesus and look back over my life, and I want to see that it counted for something. Amen? I want to have a life of some significance while I'm here on earth. Don't all of us want that? To be able to look backwards and realize that our life made the difference in the lives of other people. I'm convinced that if you want to be happy, if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be fulfilled in this life, you've got to pour yourself into the ministry of Jesus and into the lives of other people. Amen. Pouring yourself out in helping others will guarantee that you will have a life of significance. Brothers and sisters, all the monuments, all the trophies, all the achievements of this world are nothing in comparison to the rewards God promises to those who will submit. Do you want to be great in God's kingdom? Then we learn to be a servant. Can I say that again? If we want to be great in God's kingdom, then we learn to be a servant. Matthew 25 and verse 40, it says this, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" What a truth. What a truth, and what a statement to live up to. Amen? Now, it may be hard for you to receive a short word of correction this morning, but here it comes anyway. Some of you have been a couch potato Christian far too long. Some of you have been that Christian, that couch potato, and you don't even realize it. You have determined that it's more comfortable just sitting on the bench, on the sidelines, out of the game. Most of you know as much about the Bible as I do, yet week after week, you get fatter on the Word of God and then waddle out the front doors until it's time to come back and eat again. I don't know if that's because of a lack of discipline or a lack of motivation, selfishness, a lack of direction or what, but this I do know, you'll never be content until you are a worker in God's kingdom. Amen. You'll never be content until you become a servant of the Most High God. And you will never be content until you serve Jesus with all of your heart and all of your resources. Listen, folks, if you want a cure for depression, go in the name of Jesus and minister to someone. If you want to be happy, go in the name of Jesus and help the needy. If you want to have value in your life, go in the name of Jesus and love on some lost souls. If you want to have happiness and joy in your life, start serving and accomplish something for Jesus. Amen? Now, I'm sure most of you remember the story about Joseph. Joseph was a model of godly service. Wherever he went, he served. And consequently, he was blessed. He was blessed. The Bible doesn't say this exactly, but you can read between the lines and see the footprints of the devil in Joseph's life. The devil knew that Joseph was anointed by God, so the enemy did everything in his power to stop Joseph, destroy Joseph, and kill Joseph. Joseph's brothers began to hate him. Then they started thinking about how they could kill him until Joseph's elder brother, Reuben, stepped in and Reuben intervened and he was saved. So instead of killing Joseph, they sold him into slavery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever been in slavery? Yes. Amen. To a lot of things. The worst thing about that story was their brother. That was their brother that they sold into slavery. So what the devil and Joseph's brother meant for evil, God used for good. Joseph began his adventure serving in Potiphar's house, and the Lord blessed his service. That got the devil riled again. So Potiphar's wife lusted after Joseph. But when Joseph ran from her, refusing her advancements, Potiphar's wife accused him of rape, resulting in Joseph's imprisonment in Pharaoh's jail. Here again, we see that what the devil and Potiphar's wife meant for evil, God used for good. Amen. Joseph was elevated in prison to the chief prison administrator, a position of authority just under the warden. It was there that the Lord blessed Joseph's service again. Eventually, Joseph interpreted the dreams of his cellmates, the Pharaoh's baker and the Pharaoh's cupbearer. And when the Pharaoh heard of Joseph's gift of interpreting dreams, he called to Joseph to interpret his own unsettling dream. Because Joseph possessed a servant's heart and displayed God's anointing in the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh appointed Joseph second in command in Egypt. Wow. Wow. Why did he do that? It was because Pharaoh had recognized that not only was Joseph a man of service, but he was a man anointed and equipped by God for that service. Amen. Now, if you will, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Joseph was 30 years old when he began to function in this position of service for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Because of Pharaoh's dream of the coming famine, Joseph was able to go out from Pharaoh's presence and travel throughout the country. Now, we're going to start with verse 47. Verse 47, now in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. Part of Pharaoh's dream was that there would be seven wonderful years and then 7 years of famine. Verse 48, so he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. That makes sense. I'm sure he had to build barns to hold all this grain. Verse 49, Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. 50, and to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. 51, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. What a hard thing. He was wanting, or God did it to him, to forget where he came from, the experiences he had as a boy. Verse 52, and the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. 53, then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. So when the bread was running out, their natural bread was running out, verse 55 says, so when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. What a place of authority he was put in. Whatever he says to do, do. 56, the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. And then verse 57. So all countries came to Joseph in Egypt, to buy grain, because the famine was severe in all lands. Most of you may recall the account on how Joseph was reunited with his family during this famine. God had allowed Joseph to become a significant figure, not only in Egypt, but throughout all the other lands, and even to his own family. His life became one of purpose and meaning because he trusted the Lord, serving the Lord with all of his heart. Amen? Amen. Serving the Lord with all of his heart. Joseph was able to save his family. He saved all of Egypt, and he saved the surrounding nations. Talk about being significant. Now, listen, saints. God abundantly rewards faith and service. God abundantly rewards faith and service. Faith and service go hand in hand. Have you ever really thought about the verse, James chapter 1, verse 22? It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. According to this scripture, then, we are lying to ourselves if we can be believers or servants of the Lord while failing to put forth effort. Amen? Having disobedience to God's kingdom. We're not doing the right thing. If we believe that, we're deceiving ourselves. Because the scripture says, be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. Please understand that as a Christian, you are a soldier of faith in God's army. You're a soldier of faith in God's army. You have been handpicked by God to serve at his pleasure. You are a servant of the Most High God. And when he gives you an assignment, do it with all your might and competence you can muster. Give him your very best effort. Don't give up. Don't give in. Cross the finish line with determination. Be doers of the word, and that's what I once said about Turning Point Church. They are doers of the word. Amen? Amen. Okay, what's in it for me, Pastor Jerry? Glad you asked that question. You can't outgive God, folks. You can't outgive God. So understand that as you are faithful to do the work of the ministry, God is faithful to reward you with blessings and benefits of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I want to go to Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 21. Luke 1, verse 21. You there? Amen. Amen. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. Verse 22, but when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So he must have made some kind of waving motion, wanting them to come by him or something, but he couldn't talk to them. Verse 23, so it was as soon as the days of his service were completed that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. All right, Zechariah's wife Elizabeth was beyond childbearing years. In fact, way beyond them. She had been barren all her life. Together they had longed for a child, yet they were never able to conceive. Please notice, just think about this scripture now. Zechariah had continual service. He was a priest in the temple. He had continual service, and he was faithful in attendance to that ministry. He was faithful, folks. Zechariah and Elizabeth were blessed when they receive the desire of their hearts, the gift of a child. Zechariah had been faithful to do what God had called him to do, and the end result was when things were impossible, when man couldn't do it, God did it. Amen? Amen? He was blessed. It's a kingdom principle that God will bring blessings during and after our obedience and service. He will bring those blessings. Think of the 10 lepers. It was during their act of obedience, going to see the priest, when they were healed. Now keep in mind that we are motivated to serve, not because of our salvation or blessings or benefits, but out of our love and devotion for our Lord and Master. Amen? That's important. Our love of God prompts us to serve, and His love for us prompts Him to bless. Now, ask yourself this morning, where is your treasure? Is it pursuing wealth, personal achievements, gaining position, having status, being recognized, enjoying luxury, being admired, seeking recreation? Well, let's look at some words in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This passage parallels Matthew chapter 6. Verse 29, Luke 12. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious or worrisome mind. Verse 30, for all these things the nations or the heathen of the world seek after. And your Father knows that you need these things. You need these things. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Verse 32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to. He wants to bless you, folks. Amen? Verse 33, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, verse 35 says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. In the New Living Translation, it says a little different. It says, be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. Be ready for service. Verse 36, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them set down to eat and will come and serve them. The master will serve the servants. Verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. He's trying to tell you it's a round-the-clock ministry. Around the clock. Over the next few weeks, I want you to search your hearts. While we talk about being a servant, I want you to search your hearts, discover your priorities. Where is your treasure? What is the thing that motivates you? Where do you put your effort? Where do you see the future? I hope you realize that part of my job description is to prepare you for service. Amen. It is necessary to deal with this topic. Amen. If I'm to help you fulfill your call in ministry, it is necessary that we look at this topic. Together, I pray that we may fully understand and fulfill God's call on our life. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles," that's Jesus, he, capital H, "some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That verse covers work outside this building and inside this building. Verse 13, "till we all come," till we all get to unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, how many of you, as you drove to church this morning, were thinking, "I wonder what Pastor Jerry is going to encourage us to do today?" You might have been wondering, "I hope he doesn't give us something to do." It is uplifting to me when you are attentive to the message, because it means I'm doing my job. Amen. Doing my calling. You are showing interest in the Word of God, and that makes my heart leap. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, I realize that some of you may feel uncomfortable once in a while with what I preach or what I ask you to do. But please understand, I have your best interests at heart. I am for you 100%. I'm for you 100%. I sincerely try to operate under God's anointing and authority, because I want for you what God wants for you. I want you to be more than overcomers. I want you to act as his representatives on this earth, to be successful warriors in the kingdom of God. Jesus left this earth and he knew we would be doing the ministry for him. His ministry continues. He may be gone, sitting at the right hand of the Father, but he's inspired you and me to carry on his work all over the world. All over the world. So as a pastor, if I follow God's directives, then I know I may force you out of your comfort zone again and again. And as your pastor, I work to lay a foundation in your life so that your life is built upon the fundamental truths of Almighty God. When we step out of our comfort zone and begin to serve, we will experience greater unity in the body of Christ and maturity in our Christian walk. Unity and maturity will pave the way to attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In the past, I've called you to be doers of the basics of our Christian faith. That's Bible reading, prayer, and witnessing. Today, I'm asking you to stretch your faith and become influential through your service in God's kingdom. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, and it was given to you, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it." Apostle Paul says, I laid the foundation, and other people, like you and me, are building on that foundation. "But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Pay attention, folks. Pay attention. Let the Word of God lead you. Verse 11. "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ. Verse 12. "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he had built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I don't think any one of us would want to show up at heaven with nothing to show for our earthly life. How awful to be the guy Paul is describing who is saved, but only as one who has escaped through the flames, losing everything he thought was important in his life. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3, and ask yourself, does this describe me? Colossians 3, verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you another scripture. Most Christians like the first part of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God. We can shout it, right? Who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful scripture. But 57 is followed by 58. And 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. How many Christians sit in their chairs perfectly satisfied to let nothing move them, but they fail to take to heart verse 58, which could not be more plain. It's plenty plain, right? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is not a verse for bench setters. This is a verse for God chasers. When I go to heaven, I want to take as many people with me as possible. Not at the same time, of course. I'm not going to give you Kool-Aid. But I want to take as many people as possible. And I would be grieved if someone I administered to would barely get in by the skin of their teeth, lose what they thought was important. I want every one of us to be a member of a highly decorated, battle-tested army. I want to stand beside you as we take our crowns off together and then cast them at the feet of Jesus in holy worship. If you're not presently serving the Lord in some capacity, you're in danger. You are in danger of becoming stale. You are in danger of missing out on blessings. You are in danger of experiencing a spiritual decline. You are in danger of moral failure. In Luke chapter 9, verse 59, it says, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. There are countless excuses for why we can't serve the Lord. Isn't that so? Every preacher has heard this excuse. Let me pray about it. Let me pray about it. Which literally means, give me an extended period of time to figure out a good reason why I can't do what you're asking. Luke chapter 9 goes on in verse 60. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." 61, and another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Then Jesus replied in verse 62, he said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Listen, church, don't get distracted in your work for the Lord. Don't get distracted from your service to Jesus. Follow Him, and follow Him with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body. All of it. Follow Him with your time, your resources, your abilities. Do your job and do it well. But Brother Jerry, Satan will attack if I'm busy doing Jesus' work. Satan's under your feet. He's under your feet. That can't be a source of fear. We have to go beyond that. Amen? In everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. In everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Folks, service is a vital part of our walk with Jesus. A couple weeks ago, we watched this video on Wednesday night about the persecution that people are under all over the world. All over the world. And yet they're out there telling everyone they can about Jesus. They may end up in jail. They may end up with their family telling them goodbye. They may end up dead. But they tell people about Jesus. They take care of each other. They're unified in spirit. Told about this one preacher that was thrown in jail. And every morning he'd get up and he'd sing a song, his morning song. And all the other prisoners made fun of him, told him to shut up. Well, they tortured the man. It was terrible. But then they were going to let him out. And they were going to let him out to kill him. And when they took him out of that cell, every prisoner in that jail started singing his morning song. They turned him loose. The whole jail was converted, was changed. That turned him loose. And he was back preaching the word. I can't imagine being in those conditions. But Jesus means so much to them people that they're willing to do anything to bring Jesus into their world and to the people all around them. Service is something that we must do. In fact, even worship says, you know, our worship is our reasonable service. It's just ordinary. It's nothing special. It's just ordinary service. It's our worship to Him. And we do that quickly. But there are times we have to go past that and do the work of His kingdom. So in everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Everything. Amen. Amen. And they all said, amen. 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 Let's stand together, folks.